Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I am Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you, Lord Jesus, we're actually out of the studio at an alternative location. I'm at the end of the broadcast. Listen, I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast. We're so happy that you would join us today. We know that indeed there is a word from the Lord, and we're looking forward to what God has said to us and what God has seen to us. But before I go any further, before we get into this message for this evening, I'm going to have Prophetess Crystal to go ahead and give us our announcements and then lead us in our prayer. And then I'll be back right afterwards, Prophetess.
Amen. God bless you, all of you, once again. And we hope that you have all had a happy and a safe Labor Day weekend. Amen. I know we're all back to work, so we're probably feeling all that chicken and all that pork, but nevertheless, amen, God is good. Amen. And as we're celebrating just to be another day living for the kingdom, amen. And I just want to quickly go into the announcements, and then following the announcements, prayer, and then hearing the word of the Lord from our apostle Christopher McQueen. For those of you who have been following this ministry, and for those of you who are new to this ministry, we invite you every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. for Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast with Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself. Every Thursday night at 7 p.m., join me, yours truly, for Prophetic Atmosphere. Every Saturday at 9:30, and every Sunday at 8:30 a.m., join us for our live broadcast at www.ctkr.org. That's where we, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, are on the air live. Amen. Live with music. Amen. Powerful prayer, powerful music, praise and worship. And then most of all, the Word of God comes forth from our Apostle, Apostle McQueen. Amen. Also want to invite you, please go to our website for those of you who want to continuously join us with our broadcast and see us live, www.ctkr.org or .org. You could go to the media tab to see all of our broadcasts, as well as go into our archives. Amen. And for those of you who are interested in prayer, wanting someone to touch and agree with you in prayer, learning more about us as a ministry in general, or if you would like either one of us to minister at your church, please go as you're on the Contact Us tab, follow the instructions there, and someone will contact you at our earliest convenience. Amen. For those of you who have been following Christ the King Redemptive Ministries for a while, we just continuously bless you and supporting us financially, supporting us with your prayers, Amen. We just want to say God bless you, that he will continue to shine his face upon you. Amen. That you will continuously be empowered by his word. Amen. Be led by his spirit. Amen. And that you will complete and fulfill the assignment, amen, that is upon your life, that you are living a kingdom lifestyle. Amen. Amen. Finally, people of God, we want to let you know that we do have Facebook pages. So please go to our Facebook page, Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, or WOPD, also known as Women of Prophetic Destiny. Go to our Facebook pages, like us, and not only just like us, but let us hear from you. What is God doing in your life? How this broadcast is blessing you. Amen. Just letting us know, excuse me, amen, just the presence of the Lord and how he is speaking into your life. We want to hear from you. Amen. Amen. Those are the announcements. And finally, for those of you who want to join us live and in person, if you are in Florida, in the city of Cocoa, or in the central location,
or
Brevard County, thank you, Brevard County, please join us at 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121, in the beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida. That's Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Once again, that address is 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121, in the beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida. Amen. Glory to God. Join us live. We want to see you on Sundays, 8 o'clock for intercessory prayer, 8:30 service live. For Saturday, 9 o'clock prayer, intercessory prayer, and 9:30 service is hot and live. Come join us. I guarantee you that the presence of the Lord will meet you. Come expecting. You will not be disappointed. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And now, finally, those are the final announcements. Let us pray, and then let us prepare our hearts to receive the word of the Lord on this evening. Father, we bless you, and we glorify you, and we thank you, and we praise you. God, I love you, and I thank you for all that you have done for me, all that you have done for my family. God, I thank you for everything that you have brought us through. God, everything that you have strengthened us and sustained us, amen. When the enemy came in like a flood, Father, you gave us your word. You gave us your promise. You protected us, God, and you gave us the strength to go through it. And for that, we bless you and we thank you. Now, God, as we, your people, come before you, we humble ourselves at your feet. We already invite your presence in this place. Father, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would begin to move powerfully and mightily upon the man of God as he begins to deliver this word on tonight. Father, I'm asking for fresh revelation from him, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we are already, our hearts are already prepared to receive your words. And I'm asking, God, that this word would begin to shift not only our hearts, but our minds. God, I'm asking that you would begin to remove old ways of thinking, old mindsets. Destroy those now in the name of Jesus. Father, we're asking for a new mindset, that mind that is in you, the mind that is in Christ Jesus. We're asking for a renewing of the mind, a renewing of the heart, a renewing of the passion for Jesus Christ, a renewing for the things of the kingdom in the mighty name of Jesus. God, we thank you for every soul that is being saved, every life that's being changed, every body that's being healed, and everyone that's being delivered under the sound of my voice. We give your name praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you for that dynamic prayer. We're so grateful that God has given us, amen, in Prophetess Crystal, a woman of God who is attentive to the things of God. Amen. And we know because of that, God will get the glory out of our lives. Mm-hmm. That is the purpose. And I want to let you know that the other purpose of this ministry is growth. Amen. Growth is the intent of everything that we're doing. We are seeking to expand and increase the kingdom of God and its influence on the lives of those who are listeners and those who come in contact with our lives. So nothing is ever done, amen, just to be done. Everything is done on purpose for kingdom expansion.
Yes,
amen.
Yes,
and with that, it means that we can give God the glory, we can give God the praise, we can focus on the glory of God being revealed in us. Amen. And I love that because it means that at no time do I have to take down or be less than. I can always do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen.
Amen.
And you need to be happy about that too. God didn't leave you to your own devices, but he commissioned and sent and spoke to us all. And told us that it is our day, our time, our season.
Yes.
There's a responsibility that we have for kingdom expansion and kingdom work. Get to your assignment. Amen. I don't know how to say it any clearer, but we got to get back to work. Amen.
Yes, sir.
And so it is that we are speaking now concerning the message that God gave me on Sunday, dealing with Labor Day. Amen.
Right.
And the thing is that when we start talking about Labor Day, you know, we need to know, is it working for you?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And that's the title that we are actually dealing with. Amen. Is it working for you? And let me just say it again. Is it working for you?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, one of the main things that we have to always do, amen, is take time and pray and ask God for his word, his directives when we begin to deal with passages and the word of God, because we want to make sure that we are focused on what he wants us to minister. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And this right here was something that he began to speak to us. Let's go over here to John, the 9th chapter. Amen. We'll be dealing with this whole passage as we are moving forward, because there's so much that is here that we cannot afford to just skip through it haphazardly, hoping that we hit on some good points. Amen. We have to make sure that we are addressing it according to what God is speaking to us and what he's trying to say to us. Amen.
Amen.
Let's read it from the first verse. It says, "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God, amen, should be revealed in him." And I want you to really take a note there, amen, because this is something that's going to be paramount to our understanding of the situations and the times that we're living in, amen. For first said, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work."
Mm-hmm.
Fifth verse, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world."
Yes, sir.
And when he said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Now, I'm going to stop right there. Obviously, we can read down through this whole passage and really get into some of the other nuggets that are here of Revelation. But I really want to focus on this here. Amen. Third verse, Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned." Amen. And when we begin to talk about that, and when we begin to understand it, that he was born blind, we have to understand that there are things that are going on in your life, amen, things that have happened and things that will happen, amen, in your life, circumstances, situations, amen, if you will occur in your existence, in your life, around you. And don't lose heart. Don't become discouraged. It's not for you to succumb to this. Amen. I wish I had someone right now who could just look at your neighbor and say, you will make it through this.
You will make it through this.
Amen. You will not succumb to this. Amen.
Uh-huh.
See, that's important because the enemy a lot of times will try to get you to think about your situation
yes.
as if this is it. You have reached a point and a time where this will take you out. But my brother, my sister, mm-hmm. if I could preach just a little bit right here during this teaching lesson, I would simply say to you, you can make it.
Oh, yes,
huh? Because God has designed this not to be a barrier, but an obstacle. Now, let me tell you the difference between a barrier and an obstacle. Thank you, Holy Spirit. A barrier is something that hinders your forward progression to a point that it is halted. Mm-hmm. But an obstacle is something that is put in your way that you can find a way around, over, through, under. In other words, it may be something that is placed there, but it will not hinder, your forward progression. You can make it through this, amen? So when we begin to look at this, amen, we begin to see that this man being born blind was not for his final detriment, amen? It was for God to get his glory out of the situation. And I do believe that if we keep in our minds Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord, to the called according to his purpose, then when we're going through hardships and we're going through processing and when we're going through the making, if you will, and we're going through the conforming into the image of his dear son Jesus, amen, then we won't lose heart because some of the things that were placed in your making, born in sin, shaped in iniquity, have to be taken off, cut off. They have to be sanded down. They have to be clipped off. They have to be forcibly removed. Some things you feel you really need. But in order for you to do what God wants you to do, you have to understand that God has to take it out of the equation. So while you're trying to hold on to it, God is trying to get a release from you. And when you learn how to release it, then God can turn around and use that release in that space now, to build you up and to get the glory out of you. So now, here the man is here dealing with this situation from birth. His whole environment, everything about him is about the fact that he was born not seen. He could feel, he could hear, he could taste, amen? All of those things were there. He could smell, all of those things were there. Yet and still, he lacked vision.
All right.
Do you hear it coming? Because here it is. Some of you have been there working and you can feel, you can sense. You can hear.
Excuse me.
You see? But you lack vision. And because you are lacking vision, when God speaks to you, your faith can't rise to the occasion because you can't see what God is saying. You get it?
I do.
And so now what God is trying to do is he's trying to get us to go past the natural and see the spiritual. This man here, though he was blind naturally, amen, he had learned how to trust or have faith in his other senses.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, look at this right here. And the disciples asked him, saying, second verse, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he is born blind? Don't let your past situation determine your forward progression in God. If that's what it was back then, that was your yesterday. Today is your today. And if you're ever going to have hope for your tomorrow, you got to let go of yesteryear so you can have a future and a future hope. Amen.
Sure.
We are running into people and dealing with people now who are telling us that they believe that God has something for them, but when we begin to speak to them, they always go to, well, you know, I've always, or this has always been, or this has always been the situation, and every time I've tried, and every time I looked, and, you know, it just seems to me that I'm always the, stop talking, you're down. You know, the enemy is the one who is going to come and talk about you. Amen.
Yeah.
Going to come and talk about your your shortcomings. Amen. The Bible lets us know that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. My brother, sister, stop doing Satan style. When God speaks to you, you got to hear and see it like God said it. And stop trying to articulate it like the devil showed it to you. Amen. If God spoke it, then even though your eyes aren't open to it, you need to ask God to open up my eyes so I can see it like you see it. So I can speak it and decree and declare as you have decreed and declared it. Amen. See, when we are speaking it out of our flesh and out of our emotions and out of our thought processes, then what we're doing is we're telling God that this right here has to be it because it makes sense to us. But we forget often that our minds don't operate at his level. It doesn't work up there like that. Amen. What God says will come to pass. Amen. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. So we got to stop trusting in our temporal world down here, which is temporary. Amen. And begin to trust in God, knowing that when God spoke it, when God speaks it, it shall be according to his word. Simply because God has spoken it, creative power is already in action. Amen. It is working. Amen. It is working for our good. Amen. So, as I said here, don't let your past be the thing that deters you from your future. So, let's read on here because I want to really get into some things here this evening. When we see this, amen, we see that they're trying to figure out his shortcoming. We see that they're trying to figure out his downfall. They're trying to make sense of his environment. And sometimes we do ourselves a disservice trying to figure out the environment. Brothers and sisters, we are pilgrims passing through. Amen. And because we're pilgrims passing through, this is an environment that we will come through, but we're not supposed to come here to stay. I'm not here to stay. Amen. All right. I got a God to glorify. I have a goal to reach. Amen. I have a destiny to fulfill. Amen. So even as I'm going through these parts and going through these environments, I can see it, but I can never let it become a distraction to my forward progression. Amen.
All right.
This man here was a beggar, as we begin to see is confirmed in the 8th verse. But before we get there, let's go on here in this 4th verse. Amen. Or this 3rd verse. Jesus answered and said, neither this man nor his parents sinned. In other words, this happened this way for what? But that the work of God should be revealed in him. Now, let's look at this word revealed. Thank you, Jesus. It is to make known through divine inspiration, or is to make something that is secret or hidden or not visible publicly or generally known. Amen?
Uh-huh.
So that, in other words, the miracle that occurs here is not so that he could receive something in himself that would benefit just him. It was so that it would be a revelation to those who were attached to him and those who knew him that God is real. My brothers and sisters, look at this here then. That means that when God begins to work a miracle in your life, it's not just for you. Do you see it there? Instead of you walking around acting like this is what happened to me, don't tell nobody, I don't want them to know where I came from. No. This is where you begin to testify, amen? And you cannot have a testimony if you won't go through a test, amen? So this whole thing here then is just the revealing, amen, of God's grace and glory, the miracle working power, the sustaining power, amen, of God. When we begin to look at our lives and where we come from and the lives that we live and the sinful nature that we have expressed throughout our lives, then we see then that this, the power here and the miracle is that if God can save anyone,
yes, sir,
in saving me, a miracle was performed. Amen. Paul said it like this. He said, "Of sinners, I am the greatest." Huh? But yet and still, God is using me. Amen. We see that Paul is incarcerated, and from his state of incarceration, he writes in the New Testament the bulk of what we now have as the New Testament, our directives and things, the things that explain to us how, as Gentiles, we have been brought in, and the grace of God that is placed upon us, how we are to govern and move. All of those things came through Paul's writing. Mm-hmm. We then see that Peter and James and others came in and weighed in on the matter, but the bulk of what it is came from Paul. Now, who is Paul? Paul is something who was born blind. Amen. He could not see. It was not his ability. He was born a Jew, went through schooling, was given favor. He had wealth and influence in his life. When he received a letter from the high priest to go and oppress the Christians, amen. But on a Damascus road, he began to encounter Jesus, amen. And at that point in time, his directive changed because his eyes were open. Excuse me, Apostle. I do believe at this point in time his eyes were closed. No. See, he had enlightenment, amen, from God, amen. This is what happens now. We see then that Jesus speaks to Paul, amen. And when he speaks to him, he begins to tell him, you know, and inquire of him, why are you persecuting me? What's going on here? What's happening? Why are you doing this? Amen. And then he says something. He says, you know, it's very hard for you to kick against the pricks. Mm-hmm. So in other words, you're doing a whole lot. Amen. Mm-hmm. But this is not something that you're going to, you're not going to win on this one. Amen? Amen. Mm-hmm. So Paul then, or Saul at that point, then has to deal with the fact that as the light lifted and as he came back to himself here on this world, amen, or on this realm, amen, that he was blind and he had to be led by hand. You see that? When he got there, Ananias was sent to him to lay hands on him, and then he received his natural sight. But he received his spiritual sight on the road. Amen? Amen. Now, neither this man sinned nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Paul had to have, or Saul at that point, had to have a spiritual level given to him that would allow him to have voice. Because when he began to speak, he was not someone unlearned who came and heard about Christianity so he could move up into it. He was someone who was very learned, amen, in the ways of Judaism. He was a scholar. Amen. We see that when he goes into to speak, he begins to speak as one who is articulate, knowing, and having education. Paul said this. He said, of all that I learned, all that I know, I count it all as dung for the knowledge of Christ. In other words, I was blind, but now I see. Amen. See, we've gotten so accustomed to this natural sight that we cease to have spiritual insight.
True.
And those who sometimes cannot see well naturally have greater insight because they have to trust more. You notice how I keep going back to that word trust. Amen. Because that word trust right there deals with your faith. And one of the main things that combats your faith is your ability to see. What are you saying, Apostle? I'm saying your ability to see is what the enemy uses to deter your faith, because what you know in your experience causes, instead of faith in God for what you don't see, what it does is it causes fear for progression based on what you know you saw before, what you've seen in others. Amen. So you don't go forward believing in God. You go forward contemplating your next move because of what has happened in your past. Brothers and sisters, in this day and this time, this situation, you're going to have to learn how to have faith in God. It is required for you, amen? Because if you're going to know anything of him, if you're going to experience or have anything from him, amen, it will come from you trusting in God. Amen. So, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Amen. Amen. John, let's go over here. John 11:4.
Amen.
Amen. We see that this is not the only time and the only place where God has spoken. Amen. There are some other things that God spoke. Amen. Mm-hmm. At other times, the same thing. Jesus spoke here. Here we go. John 11:4. Amen. When Jesus heard what was going on here. Amen. With Lazarus. For first. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Amen. And you as a child of God have to understand that there's some things that are happening in your life that God is using to get his glory out of. Amen. Even though other people have succumbed to it, have faith in God. This is not to your detriment, and it won't be to your death. Amen. So God will give us the ability to keep going forward in him, and he will get the glory out of our lives. Amen. Huh? You see that? So let's see what else, amen, we need to look at here. Amen. For first, Jesus says, I must work the works of him who sent me. Now we get into the meat of the matter that I really want to dig my teeth into. Amen. One of the main things that we have to see here is that Jesus is given an assignment by the Father. Just like we all have a purpose for our existence. No one is just living, amen, huh? Because you want it to be alive. Each one of us right now, we are living because God had a plan and a purpose for us to be alive at this moment in time. Think about it. You could have been born at any time. But for God's plan, for such a time as this, amen, you were brought into existence. Now, you have to understand, God working through you is what's going to benefit those who are living around you. Let me say that again. God's working through you is going to benefit those who are working around you. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus speaks these words here, I must work the works, amen, huh, of him who sent me, huh? He's saying that my assignment must be completed. I must satisfy the purpose of my existence. Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
I can't just say, you know, well, hey, everybody, you know, got something to do, and he understands, you know, I'm trying to make it. I'm trying to get myself together. No, Jesus clearly understood this assignment, and he accepted it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
John, the 4th chapter, 34th verse, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. I must work the work of him who sent me. Huh? How am I going to do that? I'm so glad that you asked me. The 5th chapter, John 5:19, amen, says this. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Now, let me give you this here because I want to pull it apart again, amen. Huh? But what he sees the Father do, huh? For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Now, why are we talking about then blindness here? Because you can't do what you can't see.
Yep.
Huh? Oh, you're a child of God, and you're a joint heir through Jesus Christ, amen, according to the word of God, amen. So that means that you should be able to see what the Father is doing. Hidden behind the veil, amen, back in the tabernacle in the temple, hidden behind the veil was the presence and the glory of God, amen. But now the veil has been lifted, it has been ripped, it has been removed. We can clearly see what God is doing. And he wants that relationship with us, amen, so that we can clearly see what the Father is doing for us, amen. Mm-hmm. What is God saying? What is God doing? How is he doing it, amen? Now, if you have a difficulty seeing, we have to check your connection, amen. Let's walk a couple of scriptures. Let me see if I can do this expeditiously, amen. One of the things that we have to do is we have to always understand that God is speaking to us. God is speaking for us. God has a purpose and a plan. Amen. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
So when he is speaking to us,
yes,
he is giving us directives. The reason why a lot of us dwell in disobedience is because we cannot see what he is saying. So we stick with what we saw or what we perceive, amen? So when we talk about Jesus, what he says here in John 5 and 19, amen, we can't do what God is calling us to do because, first of all, we are disobedient and we are ignorant to what he is saying to us. Pastor, that's a strong word. You calling us dumb and ignorant? No, I'm not saying that. Ignore means that you choose not to observe. So when you walk into ignorance, what you're doing is you're walking in a state where you fail to observe the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Uh-huh. Amen? So it can be said then that you are walking in blindness. Now, blindness is... could be said here as an unwilling or unable to perceive or understand. Huh? So what you do then is when you don't understand why God said lift up and move or why God said dig in and settle down.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? You're operating in blindness. The other thing is when you don't know how to hear from God, or you don't know how to see what the Father is doing, mm-hmm, because you have no perception of spiritual things, then people can lead you where they want you to go.
That's very true.
Huh? The saying and the terminology, the blind leading the blind, comes to mind here. And both of you end up in a ditch. And you try to justify your placement in a ditch by saying, well, you know, I am not the only one. I remember coming up. Mom used to say these words. She said, if everybody else jumped off the bridge, are you going to jump off the bridge? Amen. This usually happened after I got in trouble for not telling on my brother or sister. Amen. And, you know, I love my family. I used to take some blows. Amen. God is good. Amen. And, you know, that's neither here or there. I just want to throw that in because I love my family. Amen. But see, what I'm saying here is we get into hardships because we follow instead of leading. God has given us insight. God has given us instruction. And as we come forth, then others who are where we were will be able to come forth too. We are the light in the world. I just jumped over to one of my other points. I'm going to back up. But I want to give you that right quick because I want you to think about it. We are the light in the world. We are the representatives, amen, of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God in the world. Amen. If they will know who Christ is, they'll know it from seeing our lives. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So then we have to understand that everything that is going on with us is going on because God designed it to be like this. Amen. And when he designed it like this, he designed it so that we, his children, could bring about enlightenment and a deliverance. Amen. And salvation to those who are around us. Amen. And when I say salvation, it's not your blood, amen, that saves them, but the knowledge that you have of the blood of Jesus will lead them to salvation. We lead them to Christ because we have found him for ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, let's go over here to Galatians 3 and 26. Let's go back to the 24 verse. It says, therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now you understand why blindness is so detrimental to your faith walk. Because when you can't see how God could forgive you, you'll walk as if you need forgiveness, even though it has been extended and applied to you. When you said, God, forgive me of my sin, at that moment, the blood was applied to your sinful nature.
Amen.
And it was blotted out.
Yes.
He blotted out the charge. It was paid for. When you go look at the ledger, he can't read what's under the blood that blots out the charge against you. Amen.
Yes.
So, therefore, the law was there to tell you what was wrong, but the blood came to justify you. Amen.
Amen.
You see that? And we're justified by faith. Faith is the substance of things for the evidence of things not seen.
Yes.
Huh? That means that you're walking in something that if you don't have it, you are walking in blindness.
Uh-huh.
You see that? So faith is important here because you have to progress regardless of what your environment was previously. Now you have a faith walk in your salvation. I don't want a faith walk. I want him just to give it to me. Preacher, lay your hands on me and decree and declare so I can get what I need to do or get what I need to have so I go on living my life. Brother, sister, it don't work like that.
It really don't.
Huh? It works like this. You are enlightened to the fact that God loved you so much that he sent his son, Jesus. And when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then according to the word of God, that we are not transformed into this world, but we are conformed into the image of his son. Hmm? We are transformed in our mind and conformed into the image of his son. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So look at this. After our faith, Galatians 3:25, but after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. The law that told you how wrong you are now loses its ability to sway your existence. Amen.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't mean that if you start sinning and go back into your sinful lifestyle that the law has no bearing on you. Quite the opposite. It means when you get to a point where you have gone back into that, then you now become subject to the law. But as long as you walk in the faith, amen,
amen.
Huh? And a justification of your relationship with Christ, amen, a son of God, a child of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ,
hey.
You can walk forward not worrying about what you don't see. What is it that you don't see? You don't see the recompense of your former life. You don't see the recompense of the sin that you have committed in your vessel, huh? There are people who have gotten saved after years of living a hard, sinful life that look better today than they ever did when they was thinking they was looking good.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? You thought you had it going on. You thought you was all that, a bag of chips, french fries with mustard or ketchup on them, amen? I'm going to take you back in the day. You thought you was an Arthur Treacher's platter with malt vinegar, amen? Huh? You know, that stuff was good, amen? Huh? I'm gonna go way back. I'm gonna go local. You thought you was a bag of Vicky shrimp from out of Detroit. Listen, I'm gonna tell you, back then, you looked like the bag and not the shrimp. You looked like the container, but not the fish and chips. Huh? Some of you look like the wrapper, but not the filling. Until Christ came into your life. And then you begin to be built up. See, that's why the inside of you is more important than the outside of you. And let me say something. I got a gift on Sunday, and they took and put the wrapping around it, little bow on the top and everything else, and I was trying to open it up, and the person who gave it to me said, here, let me help you, and grabbed the box and ripped the wrapper off of it. I said, okay, so now I'm opening up the box, and when I open up the box, it was all this tissue paper in there.
Yep.
Okay? And in all of that tissue paper was the gift. What am I saying? There's a lot of wrapping and stuffing around you. But when you recognize that you are the gift of God,
yes, sir.
You let the Holy Spirit wrap you up. You let God, his design and his plan for you, you let it encapsulate you. Huh? You are the gift of God to the earth. Huh? I've said it before, and I'm going to say this again. We're not running after blessings. We are the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? And when you allow yourself to grab hold of that, then you will live your life, and God will give to you resources to be a blessing to others. While you're trying to get a blessing, you'll give your resource away trying to find something that you already are.
Amen.
Amen, somebody. So let's read down, let's finish reading this. 3:26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Amen. And I keep coming back to this because this is a truth that we have to get on the inside of us. Amen. We were baptized into Christ. And those of us who have put him on, now we are the image of him. See, putting on Christ is not like putting on a shirt. Putting on Christ is putting on him totally, from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. When people see you, they should see Christ. Huh? It didn't say put Christ in you. It said put on Christ. See, your behavior pattern, your demeanor, all of that should be modeled after Christ. Amen. And when it is, then you can walk full and confident in who you are, not worrying about, you know, trying to measure up to someone else's ideal, or what salvation looks like, or what security and salvation looks like. You will look just like he wants you to look, huh? You will behave like he has created you to behave. Amen?
Amen.
29th verse. Amen. Well, 28th verse. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. Huh? And heirs according to the promise. So if we're Abraham's seed and if we're part of Christ, then let's go back and understand what it means to be seed of Abraham. Amen. Let's read this again. Genesis 12:1. It says, now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. You see that? I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So if we are Abraham's seed, then we are a blessing already. You see that? But when you are blind, you don't believe this. So even though you deserve to walk as one who is a heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, you walk as one who is a slave or as one who is a servant, amen, who does not have sonship. Yee. Huh? So when God is trying to get you to move in the direction of your destiny to fulfill yourself as a child of God, you're throwing up to him how unworthy you are. And he's telling you and trying to get you to understand you yourself would be unworthy. But because you are now a joint heir with Jesus Christ, you're my child. Huh? And I'm calling you to step forward as a child of God. See, we have not taken into our heart and into our understanding what the weight of being a child of God really is. True. So anyone can come and tell you anything, and you'll walk away feeling defeated, feeling discouraged. Mm-hmm. Amen? Because you don't know who you really are. And let me help you out. The devil is never going to allow anybody to come to you that's going to strengthen the God in you. Huh? They're not going to come and strengthen the Christ in you. They'll come and show you your shortcomings so that you can never walk into fulfilling your destiny. You'll always have something that you need to work on. You'll always have something that you have to mature to or develop to, huh? That will always keep you subservient to them, huh? But Jesus said, I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So in other words, what he did was he came to lift the veil, amen, and to pull off the blinders.
There you go.
And sometimes in our life, it is that most disgusting hard thing that we have gone through that he wants to cleanse us from. Because once you can drop that, you can clearly see. Brings us back to John, the 9th chapter, amen? Huh? He said here, in the 6th verse, Jesus spat on the ground and made clay with saliva and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. I said this on Sunday, I do believe, or this past weekend. We started this on Saturday, amen? I said, you know, what's interesting is the blind man couldn't see, but his hearing was acute. That was his hearing compensated for his lack of vision. So he heard Jesus get ready and spit. When he felt something moist on his eyes, because his feeling was acute. Because it compensated and overcompensated for his lack of sight. He had to continue to have faith that what he knew to be vile and disgusting was not to destroy him. But through dealing with the situation, he could come to an understanding that even through this, I'm worth something. And it's going to be for my glory. So when Jesus said to him, after he had done so seven first, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Huh? Then he went. This is the secret right here. Huh? So he went. Number one, obedience. Lord Jesus, let me just let that rest for a second. He didn't question, why did you spit on my eyes? Mm-hmm. He didn't question, how's this going to help me? Well, I don't understand. Did anybody else ever had this happen to him? Because right. I haven't heard this treatment before. Right. This is something new. I don't think they know that he know what he's doing. No. When he did it, the Bible said, so he went. Obedience right now. He didn't think about it. He didn't contemplate it. He didn't go through his mental faculties trying to understand the process of it. He simply obeyed what he was told. Huh? And when he got there and washed. Now, I shared this on Sunday because he didn't go there and dip. Huh? He had to wash. Washing. Now, let me say something to you, because washing is something totally different. Amen? Huh? Washing is to clean by or to cleanse by or as if by the action of liquid. It's to remove by rubbing or drenching. You see that? Huh? So It has to be the liquid. Why the liquid? Huh? Because your obedience to the Spirit, which water represents, huh, is what's going to cause you to come into your healing and deliverance. Mm-hmm. Huh? So he was obedient and he washed. Now that rubbing shows that he had to work at the cleansing part of this. You see that? He didn't go dip and come up saying, I'm dry, give me a towel, I have washed. No, you got to get in there. Huh? I shared before, sometimes you have a pot that don't want to come clean, and if you leave some water in there, just a little bit, whatever is hardened in it will soften up so it can be easily removed. When you talk about you going through, some of your deliverance is going to happen now, and some of your deliverance is going to happen as you are going through the process of your deliverance. But regardless of what happens, stay in the process. It is that combination of you working through it that will bring you to a fulfillment of it. Amen?
Amen.
You see that? And look at the last words here. And came back seeing.
That's it.
So what you went for after the situation, you actually accomplished. But there has to be a testimony of what God has done. Because there are other people who are blind who need to see. And you are the key to their vision and their salvation. Brothers and sisters, listen. Obedience. Working through it. Amen. Staying in the process. Amen. And then the end result is the testimony of what God has done. It's the key to your deliverance and your destiny. You can't tell me right now that you are ready to get there if you're not ready to work through it. Don't tell me that you're ready for your destiny and you waiting on God to hand it to you, because he'll give you directives that you have to work through. Washing is rubbing. You see that? Water drenching, the liquid, the rubbing, the action of it is what causes the cleansing. You're working through it.
Yes, sir.
Look at your neighbor and say, is it working for you?
Is it working for you?
You see that? So when we talk about is it working, it's the process working for you. It's the directive working for you. I know you went over there with clay on your eyes, but can you see how this process will bring back to you your sight? Why clay? We were formed and shaped, huh, by the dust and the clay. And then he breathed into us, amen, the breath of life, huh? And when he did so, then man became a living soul. This right here was him going back and replacing the eyes with what he created them with at the very beginning. Lord Jesus, I thank you for revelation. Isn't that marvelous?
Mm-hmm.
That's why he had to use that, because that was the way that he replaced the lenses and the sockets and everything else. And let me share something else with you. Why clay? Because it's gritty. It's dirty. Huh? Right. But if you're going to get a real smooth finish, you got to use sandpaper.
Yeah.
It polishes as it's used. Smooths as it's going. Amen? God was sharpening this man's vision. And we'll see that as we come back to this. Amen. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this revelation. Lord, even as we go forward, help us to understand, Lord, that you're calling us not into a dismal place, but into enlightenment, into understanding. Help us to leave blindness, and should I say willful blindness, and walk into a faith that helps us to understand that you have great for us and greater for us. We thank you, Lord, right now for all that you have done and all that you have done for us. And we pray right now that someone, Lord, under the sound of my voice will hear this and be saved. How can I be saved? Simply pray this prayer after me. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, I pray that you lead them to a Bible-believing, a Bible-teaching church where they may be matured and go on to do the work that you called them to do. In the name of Jesus. Now I pray for those who are saved, Lord. I pray for those who need miracles, signs, and wonders, deliverance, resources released. Lord, I pray for them right now. Lord, we need miracles. Yes, Lord, things that the enemy said will happen and things and situations that are going on in our lives, Lord, we need you to work out a way for us. I pray right now for favor to supersede us in the name of Jesus. What the enemy said won't happen, Lord, you make it happen to your glory in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it now. In Jesus' mighty, matchless name, we pray and ask all these things. Amen. 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 Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you'll learn more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us and help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen
of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. And we want to remind you that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. We love you, and we'll talk with you on Thursday night at 7 p.m. for Prophetic Atmosphere with none other than Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.